Thanks for joining us on Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle. We're here every weekend with messages intended to draw you deeper into God's Word. You'll be blessed by Rich's verse-by-verse teaching of Scripture.
Real church, it is a beauty to behold as God designed her. It is a family to enjoy. It is a force to promote God's glory. It is a megaphone to announce the gospel to a world that's walking in darkness. It is a haven to protect us when we're assaulted by the evil one and by the brokenness of this world.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled Real Care.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today we invite you to open up your Bibles with us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. This passage teaches us that real church is a place of real care. That a church is not simply a place where we go to have some experiences, where we go to sing some songs and listen to some eloquent prayers and listen to an interesting message or participate in certain rituals like the Lord's Supper. But the church is designed by God to be a place where you're loved, where you're cared for. And this passage really places so much of the burden upon spiritual leaders in the church. And it's so helpful, so encouraging, so instructive. You know, there is a truth where every member of the church is responsible to be able to contribute to the caring environment of the church. But it's also true that church leaders have a double burden, that this is a special accountability that we'll have before the Lord. And so as you open up your Bibles today to 1 Thessalonians 2, let's pray for our own spiritual leaders. We need it. May God encourage you through His Word.
Real church leaders aim to please God, not man. They do it by proclaiming the word, by reproving, rebuking, exhorting with complete patience and with teaching. You know, spiritual leaders find contentment in God's approval of their message because it comes from God and of their methods. We eagerly long to hear from Him, well done, good and faithful servant. If God gives us the stewardship of spiritual leaders, let's commit ourselves to God's methods and God's message. The main fruit God asks us to produce in ministry is the fruit of His approval. See, every other fruit, that's what He produces. But we have it within our responsibility to produce the fruit of His approval by simply following His instructions. It's not in our area of responsibility or in our area of ability to be able to bring converts, to be able to grow the church, to be able to, you know, fill in the blank. That's all God's working. Ours is just simply to plant and to water with patience, with teaching, with clarity, and then watch God work whatever He wills. Look at verse 4. Just as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. Here's an application for the whole church. If God gives you real church leaders, and I believe He's given us real church leaders here at Bethany, pray for them by name. Pray that God would give them grace to resist the desire to please man. It's within all of us, every one of us, a natural desire to wish that everyone would approve. And it's not a very large step to move from that natural desire that we can't get rid of, which is, well, I just hope everybody likes me. It's not very far from that step, which is part of all of our lives, to the next step is, now I'm going to act in ways to see that they will like me. And we move outside of Christian ministry when we take that step. So let's pray for our leaders that God would give us grace, them grace, to seek the pleasure of God. God's methods are simply speaking the gospel, the profound truth that God loves us and sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross. Send His Son Jesus to be raised from the dead and return to establish His kingdom and His glory. Care commitment number 3. God's spiritual leaders say to God and to the church, we will love you personally. We will love you personally. Look at verse 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you. I love this imagery. Like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. He's showing a model for spiritual leadership inside the church, a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, do you catch these words that communicate this deep affection? We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives. It wasn't just a message to communicate. It was a life to be given because you had become very dear to us. Spiritual elders know that this work of shepherding a church is not for a person who wants to join church business meetings and make decisions. Now, that's a part of spiritual eldership. There is a part of this work in which we get in a room and we talk about the needs of the church and make some decisions, but that's not the work of a spiritual shepherd, of an elder. That's a necessary part, but it's not the heart. It's not the main thrust of spiritual ministry in the church. This work, this ministry, is personal work with people. It requires an open heart and an open home. Pray for your leaders in this regard. It's easy to become so busy doing ministry that we forget the heart of ministry, the heart of loving people. And it's really hard to love people when you're exhausted, when you see so many tasks in front of you that they're just building up and you have so much to accomplish just to meet what you feel are expectations both from God and from people. Here's this great picture, a word picture of a nursing mother that reminds us of the heart of spiritual ministry. Christian leadership is primarily about loving relationships, and it's about personal ministry. And when we think of a mother caring for infant child, isn't there a lot of tasks that just simply get undone in order to care for the baby? Isn't that true, moms? You say, okay, I had a list of 10 things to do, and I got through minus one of them. So I'm actually in the hole at the end of the day. But a mother who understands the stewardship of motherhood says, well, here's what my day was like. What'd you do today? Here's what I did today. I fed my baby. I cared for my baby. I rocked my baby. That's what I did. And oftentimes that is the picture of what God gives to us for spiritual leadership, for really healthy spiritual leadership, where spiritual leaders have to make decisions. You know what? We're not going to accomplish it. There's probably going to be some mad, why isn't the church doing this? Why isn't the church doing that? What about this program? We say, I'm sorry, it just didn't get accomplished. I wish it could, but we really need to love people. And a lot of times loving people just simply takes time. It takes the energy to maintain a heart of love. We have one grandson and one's on the way here in November, and we're very thankful for both of them. But I remember sweet Kira as she had little infant Malachi, and as an infant he once was crying. So we were at their house, and Kira said to him, she said, "Oh dear Malachi, I am here to meet your needs. What can I do for you today?" And I thought that is such a perfect expression of a nursing mother. Paul says to spiritual leaders, if you want to know what ministry in a church is like, you know what this work is that you're about ready to engage, watch the loving moms in your church and how they care for their infants. Observe their tenderness, observe their patience, observe their gentleness, observe their commitment. The baby starts crying, that mother is there, observe their affection. That's the picture. That's a picture of what it's like to lead in a church. Spiritual leaders invest in tenderly caring for the members of the church that God sets before us. Let's imitate the heart of a nursing mom when we come to church on Sunday morning. We wake up on Monday, we think about those folks and relate to them. Let's imitate the heart of that nursing mom. And this is the reason why that a church, and a big church like ours, needs many, many, many spiritual leaders. Because it's impossible to care for all with the fondness and the personal effects that is a desire. So pray that God would continue to raise up spiritual leaders in our church with this kind of heart. Real church has leaders who personally love the members of the church family. The fourth care commitment is that those spiritual leaders say, we will labor to teach you God's word. Look at verse 9 and 12. You remember, brothers, and I love that he keeps using this word brothers. He's known them for such a short time. He says, you're my family. You're tighter than blood to me. There is a bond here that's forever and ever. You're part of the family of God. We share God as our Father, and that's the reason why we're brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a commitment we have that's in the church. You remember, brothers, our labor and our toil. We work night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. So there's a labor just for their own sustenance. They didn't ask for money from them, but there's also a labor in proclaiming the gospel of God. He says, you're witnesses, you saw it. And God also is witness how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, so the first image, the first family image he gives to spiritual leaders is a nursing mother, but now how a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you, we encouraged you, we charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and his own glory. He highlights the labor of ministry. We toiled, used night and day, he wrote, to teach you God's word. And as we taught you God's word, he says, we exhorted. That's a word of strength that requires energy to exhort someone. And how we encouraged you, like we entered into your needs and we encouraged you, want to strengthen you. And we charged you. We tried to motivate you with truth, the truth, the gospel, to live in a manner worthy of God. He's a God who calls you into his kingdom. He calls you in his glory. We have this vision for your future. And I'm so thankful to be a father. The father of three sons and now two daughters through marriage. What a blessing! And if you're a parent, you know and understand this heart that Paul's talking about, the heart of a father toward his sons. Throughout my life, God has given me a real vision for the future of my children. And so I would talk to them early about their need to submit to God, to listen to him, to walk with him, and to just live a life of wisdom, trying to give them a picture of their future. And that's what a father does. He exhorts, he encourages, he charges to help his children have a future that's bright, that's glorious, that's meaningful, that's purposeful. Now, Paul's exhortation, encouragement, and charge, though, comes again from the Word of God. It doesn't just come from his own heart. This is what I want you to do and be because this is the way I wanted to live my life. His charge was based upon the Word. Christian ministry is not a place for leaders to express their own opinions about life, about society, about philosophy, about politics. It's a place for us to speak on behalf of God, to exhort and teach and instruct, encourage through the Word. We are not authors of our message. We are entrusted with a message of another, a message from God himself. So that makes us simply echoes. So God speaks his word, and a Christian ministry is, minister is like a rock face in a canyon. The message comes to that rock face, and then it bounces off, and you hear it repeated. And so that's what we are as Christian ministers. We don't change that message. The message doesn't come in one way and come out another. We don't create it, doesn't emanate from it. We're just simply echoes of God. That is our responsibility. You know, I would hope that if you are here for weeks and months and years of your life listening to messages from myself or any of the other pastors, that none of us would say anything that's original. Have you ever had a speaker say that to you? I hope you don't hear me say anything that's original. Original is not good in Christian ministry. Original means it's coming from me. Now, I hope through the Word of God, in our study, that we're able to discover and draw these precious jewels because this word is so rich, but always that what we say comes from God. It's a message that God has already given. We're just simply being echoes that are clear, echoes full of conviction, echoes that the Holy Spirit uses to bring specific applications personally, but echoes that you say that there's nothing really that Rich or Josh or any other teachers here have taught me other than what's already here. It's in this book. It's living. It's active. Real church leaders commit to preaching and teaching the Word. And real church is a place that God created for us to gather together to listen to His Word. That's how central His Word is to our life, life individually, our life corporately. God tells us to be His servants who simply teach His Word, who preach His Word, who explain His Word, who proclaim His message. That's what we are. Principle, as we think about the ministry of spiritual shepherds acting as fathers toward their children, is that what we hope for defines what we live for. And so, as I was expressing, as my children were growing up, I would try to give them a vision of what they could hope for, the God's promises of His kingdom and His glory. And I remember a time when my son Alexander was 7 and we went to visit a college of my wife's alma mater. It's a Christian college out in Virginia. And we were taking a visit there at the college, and you know, I was thinking it's time to kind of get Alexander excited about, you know, future academics and how that would prepare him for life, to have a vision for that, so that he would then live for that. And so we went through this entire visit, and the whole time Alexander was unusually quiet. And we ended our tour, and as we were approaching our car, I asked, "Well, Alexander, how'd you like the tour?" And all of a sudden, he just broke out in tears. And he says, "Daddy, I don't want to go to college." And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean? Why don't you want to go to college?" And he says, "Because I love being with you and Mom." He thought we were dropping him off that day. He thought this was his matriculation day, that we were trying to get him excited because, yeah, we're going to leave you here. We're going to get in the car, and yeah, good luck, son. God charges spiritual leaders to think like dads. Dads who naturally envision a future day when their children are mature and say, "I want to build in them now so that future day is really joyful, really purposeful, really meaningful." That's who spiritual leaders are. The last commitment care that spiritual leaders make is that we're going to talk about today is that we will constantly thank God in prayer for you. That's a commitment that spiritual leaders make. You know, again, Paul suffered some indignities. He suffered some insults. He suffered through gossip and slander. It did not change his heart for those people. He wasn't filled with bitterness and resentment. He wasn't filled with, "Boy, I wish that person wasn't here anymore." He was just filled with thankfulness. He saw that God began a good work in him. He saw that when they received the word, there really was transformation. There was genuine, authentic life change through the Holy Spirit. He knew that that means that when God begins a work, He's going to complete it. He knew that in the end, in the kingdom, that those folks will be perfected and they're going to bring glory to God. And so that's what he parked on, not their current sins, not their current fleshiness. He parked on the work of God, and he says, "I'm just going to always thank God for you." Look at what he says here in verse 13. "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God." He said that's a supernatural work of God. No one has that experience apart from God's supernatural work, and I just want to thank God for you. Remember earlier, he did the same in chapter 1, verse 2. He says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you all in the prayer." So this is a you all. It's not just most of you. It's every one of you. And that's the heart of a spiritual shepherd, is I just thank God in prayer for each person that God places in the care of our shepherding responsibility. Paul emphasized that he thanked God for them. And I think he emphasized this in this letter twice. He's going to talk about it. Perhaps, this is my guess now, perhaps because some of those folks knew that they'd been party to this slander, and they're being confronted on it in this letter, and they're thinking, "Well, man, okay, is Paul talking about me? And if he's talking about me, because I think he is, because I think I've been part of this, does he care for me anymore? Has Paul's heart been withdrawn because of my past actions?" And Paul says, "No, I want all of you to know I thank God constantly for every one of you, because I see that God is doing an amazing supernatural work. Regardless of the hindrances of your own sins, I want you to know I thank God constantly for you. And he meant it. Spiritual leaders, let us thank God for every person in our spiritual family, and let us commit to praying for them, and I would add to continuing ministering the Word of God to each one, to each and every one. Real Church has leaders who genuinely thank God for members in the church. It's humbling, it's wonderful. Family, I would encourage you to help us leaders by telling us how we can pray for you, opening up your hearts to us so that we can have personal ministry with you and for you. I love how, skip forward and we'll look at this next week, but look at verse 19 and 20. He says, and this is his real heart, it's an expression of his heart toward a church again that started to have some turn away from him. He says, what is our hope? In other words, when we think of the future, what do we think about? What makes us really excited about that future that's certain for us who are in Christ? What is our joy? What causes us such deep gladness? What is our crown of boasting? In other words, what's the greatest part of our reward before our Lord Jesus at his coming? When Jesus returned, what's going to be on our minds? And he says this, it's amazing. He says, is it not you? He says, won't on that day when we're finally perfected in Christ, is it not we're going to look around, we who have been the privilege of being spiritual leaders, spiritual shepherds, and saying, God, you used us to create this family, these family of perfected saints that we get to enjoy forever and ever. You are our joy. You are our crown of boasting. That's the heart of a spiritual shepherd. Our Lord has gifted Bethany with some amazingly qualified, loving, sacrificial, gifted leaders. Real Church, it is a beauty to behold as God designed her. It is a family to enjoy. It is a force to promote God's glory. It is a megaphone to announce the gospel to a world that's walking in darkness. It is a haven to protect us when we're assaulted by the evil one and by the brokenness of this world. Nothing more wonderful than the local church exists than when we live for God's glory together, when we match this design God has for us. Charles Spurgeon called the local church the dearest place on earth. Brothers and sisters, let us press forward into this reality, into this gift, into real church. Leaders, let us be examples of Christ and of his gospel. Brothers and sisters, let us pray for our spiritual leaders. For the glory of God and the good of his people, let us pursue real church together.
We're so glad you joined us today. Would you make it a point to join us each weekend for this broadcast? We'd love to have you as a regular part of Knowing Christ on this station or on our website. Listen now as Rich shares some closing thoughts.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We've been discussing the call of God upon spiritual leaders in the local church from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a daunting task for us who are spiritual leaders to commit ourselves as church leaders to care for the flock in these ways that the Apostle Paul describes for his own life in his own ministry toward this precious flock. And so I want to encourage you as a listener to Knowing Christ to reach out and support your church leaders, whether your leadership at the church is a pastor or a group of elders or a pastor and elders and deacons. Take some time this week and just let them know you're praying for them. Let them know that you understand the difficulty of the task in front of them, that you also understand how important it is for them to continue in the work. As you connect with them, make sure it's a super positive, not a corrective tone, but a super positive note. I believe this is the way you'll have great influence on your own church leaders as you share with them your support, your love, and your prayers. God bless you.
You can hear this message again by going to our website, knowingchrist.org. You can also download a free copy of any of our broadcasts. While you're there, look for the Contact Us button and let us know how God is using this broadcast in your spiritual journey. We're so blessed when we hear from our listeners. That's knowingchrist.org. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.